We sometimes end up on the topic of sex. Here's the thing. Anything in business is bolstered by your mindset. And I feel strongly that if you're not feeling good deep down in your soul, you're not showing up as your best self. And you can tell when people have not gotten laid in a long time because they're kind of tense. And so sex is an important asset to business. And I stand firmly behind that platform.
Me too. Hey, Warners, welcome to Women Your Mother Warned You About,
the podcast that makes business sexy again.
I'm Gina Tremarco, sales trainer and consultant at Pivot 10 Results and founder of Carolina Improv.
And I'm Rachel Pitts. I'm a mommy and a wifey and a mortgage loan officer at U.S. Mortgage.
And I'm Keith Walters, a curious soul who is on a mission to build great companies.
I love it.
Curious soul Keith. That's what we're going to call you from now on. And that came up in this episode with Roseanne Higgins that we were all talking about not what you do, but who you are. And Keith is a curious soul.
I think I'm going to take some time and think about that question.
You
guys,
too.
We get to that near the end of this amazing podcast that, you know, most of the time we introduce ourselves as hi, like I just did. What, you know, I do actually put mom first and wife, and then I put my business label, but you know, curious soul is more of who Keith is. So I got to think about it. Like,
I know,
you know,
that's our homework.
You know, the first thought pops in my mind is I'm a dancer, but because I have been since I really am that. And I try to get away from it and I keep getting pulled back into it. But I really, when God made me, he made me a dancer because not everybody has that gift. So it's interesting. It's really, you will love this episode. So Keith, tell us how you met Roseanne.
Tell us about Roseanne.
Yeah. So Roseanne Higgins is, she's the CEO and founder of a company called Single Professional Introductions for the Especially Selective, which she calls SPIES. And in her business, she is a matchmaker, a professional matchmaker. I met Roseanne at a Conscious Capitalism conference last year and was just totally intrigued with what she does. Her mission is really, at a higher level, is about love. And at a tactical or business level, her mission is to match successful single men with hard-to-find, beautiful, intelligent women. And in this episode, we talk about beauty, not just being the visual beauty, but the beauty within the women. And she does this kind of through a headhunting model, as you would in business. So she combines executive recruiting and matchmaking talents to become this romantic headhunter, and she is really good at it. It's interesting, her background, she's years and years in the Navy, turned entrepreneur. She is a expert marks person. I guess you can't say marksman anymore, but she's an expert shot. She's worked with high security clearance, and so, you know, this is kind of private stuff she deals with, and she's really good at keeping secrets. She's got some great stories about how she does this matchmaking and kind of what goes into making a successful match.
And we didn't really talk business too much. I really wanted to dive into her business model, but some of the things that she's talking about from a matchmaking perspective are good takeaways for how to also create relationships in business. And she gives out a homework suggestion in this episode for finding your ideal mate, but I think it's actually homework that you can use for finding your ideal customers, finding your ideal employees. You're going to have to listen so you can hear what that homework is.
Yeah, it all comes down to how are you showing up, you know, and that's when you have a business encounter with a brand new prospect or a current client, like how are you showing up and analyzing that, because it's the same criteria on a certain level for relationships that are love, romantic relationships, it seems. It's really, yeah. She's super interesting. What, another person that we've interviewed that I wish we had another hour with.
I know. I can't wait to have drinks with her in Phoenix. All right, let's get on with this episode with Roseanne Higgins.
And with that, Roseanne Higgins, we welcome you to Women Your Mother Warned You About.
This is how we roll. We just roll, especially when Keith is on the show. So there's no formal, proper way of doing this show, and we're okay with that. So,
can I ask a question?
Of course.
I listened to quite a few of your podcasts before this, and I was amazed at how you two women get along so well and laugh so well, and you do business together as, what is it, mortgage and real estate. How do you do that? How do you have that connection? Because sometimes two women together does not work.
We get along like so well all the time, right, Rachel?
Yeah. The truth is that we both are female, and there's been times where we pretty much were like not cool with each other. But the thing about it is this, that Gina and I, we've been in so many different situations together. Our relationship has developed over time, as all deep, profound relationships are. At one time, Gina was my business coach. Then she was just my friend. Now she's my business partner. So it's more like a sister thing now.
Yeah.
That, you know, we can get in a fight and call each other, not really call each other names, but call each other out.
Call each other out, yeah.
And then we can come back when we, you know, have our shit together and go, you know what, you're right. I was kind of a bitch right then or whatever. You know, I think it's a matter of being open to the fact that nobody's perfect. Women have ups and downs as well as men. And it's all about the journey. So
yeah,
appreciate
I think
that.
It's the time that we've spent together over the years, really knowing each other. And we also have tested similar on personality assessment on the culture index. Actually, we're exactly the same, which I think we were told we should never actually share an office because of that. So
you don't have somebody to carry up the weak parts.
Pardon me?
You don't have somebody to carry up the things that you're not.
Yeah. So I think we both know each other's personality so well, the good, bad, and the ugly. So we know when each one of us is having a bad day and kind of back off or just let someone run with it. So it really, to me, is about any relationship. And you're going to talk about relationships today with us because you're a relationship coach along with many other things in your company. I think you have to have an emotional intelligence to be self-aware of your own issues and then to be socially aware, right? So when you have both of those, that builds a good relationship. So that's how we manage. And we both, I think, appreciate how much on the run we both are, that we are to, I think, to a point where we can read each other's minds.
Well, and it's fun to listen to how you groove together, how you support each other. I love hearing what you're both reading, what you're both up to, the hand surgery and how to figure out life when you only have one hand. I've really enjoyed the podcasts.
Well, thank you. Well, we're excited to have you here because we're going to learn so much from you, and we're going to, which we don't do this very often, but we're going to hand some of this off to Keith, which is a little scary, but you know, sometimes Keith has to take the wheel, and Keith met you and brought you to the show. So I'm going to hand off a little bit to Keith.
Let me tell you a little bit about that. I met Roseanne at the Conscious Capitalism Conference last April. You know, it was a great conference, and I'll plug that organization just a little bit. That was the same conference where I met Michelle Sirocco, who's been on the show, and some other people who've been
on
the show.
I love Michelle.
But, oh, she is so wonderful. And I'm at the conference, and I see this tall, good-looking woman, and so I said, I need to chat with this lady. And it's really interesting about Roseanne. She was at the conference to meet men. And
to learn from all the speakers and to vibe with purpose-driven businesses.
Right. But, you know, so, but she was there for her business, and her business is professional matchmaking. And totally intriguing. Roseanne and I spent a lot of time talking together. She has a very interesting background. As we talked about in the intro, you know, Navy, she's someone you don't want to mess around with. Active Navy for, what, 10 years?
Right.
And then reserves for 6 or 7. And you don't want to mess around with her. Expert pistol, you know, shooter.
I've got good aim.
And she's got great aim. She's been involved with the security side of the DOD, and so very knows very much about how to keep things secret, which I think is probably very important in her business. But a professional matchmaker, and we had a very interesting conversation about that business.
Yes, and you're so very inquisitive, man.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, I am very. Very. Curious.
He likes to ask a lot of questions.
And who doesn't like to talk about what they do and themselves?
So her, Roseanne, your company is Single Professional Introductions for the Especially Selective, acronymed as SPIES, kind of works with your military background there. So just give us a little bit about, you know, just get a real quick snippet about what it is you're doing. And then I've got all kind of questions for you.
I go to up to 5 events a day, and I'm like a bird dog, maybe. Some say like a wingman, but a wingman, that means the person you're with is standing right next to you. And my guys are busy running companies, and you know, they're lawyers and doctors. So they're not next to me. They want me to be out there on their behalf. And I go to really great events, like I was just at the Phoenix Open, which is the number one pickup place all year long in Phoenix, Arizona. And hundreds of thousands of people descend upon it. Unfortunately, a few gold diggers are among the mix. My guys are trying to make better decisions than they used to when they come to me. So I am able to ferret out which ones are there just to catch a man for his money. And I tend to meet really good men at it. But I go to events, and I have the best, like, I'm sitting here with this just to remember, and I just had this wonderful fresh cup of Nespresso, because one of my couples just got back from France and Belgium on their first European trip, and they got me a Nespresso for Christmas. And then we had Nespresso or espresso martinis for my big birthday. I just had a decade turning birthday. So I've created an adventures list, and people that, and that's going to help me meet more single people too. So basically, I'm a headhunter. I created romance headhunting, and I go to events. I find people, and then I get to know everything about them, because you can't tell just by seeing them if they're going to be a perfect fit for someone until you hear how they say, what they're about, and what they want, and where they've been, and just lots of information that I collect to see who's going to be the exact perfect match for each other.
Yeah, I bet you have to really, you probably are one of those people that can filter out the bullshit pretty quick, because, you know, everybody likes their highlight reel, you know, Facebook highlight reel to be what the world sees. And when they show up at an event, I'm sure they're putting their best foot forward. So, you know, I bet you have, you can see through that.
Yes, they put who they are out. Like one girl, she heard at this place called the Merc Bar, which is kind of a shishi place that they make. They always made it look like the line was bigger than they were packed. And so you had to wait in a long line. Then you get in and you find out they had plenty of room to get me in, but it makes it look like there's more demand. Anyway, I remember her sitting in there, and I like the Merc Bar, and I like Rick Phillips, who owns it. She said, "Oh, a man's got to make $250,000 for me to go out with him." And I'm looking at her, and she becomes less attractive by the minute, because I'm like, she told me he's not sitting there. I am saving him from her, because I will never, ever call her for one of my guys, because they can find girls who want them for their money without any help.
So how does, I've never had problems finding relationships, and bad ones and good ones, but, how do you find your clients? Do they come to you? They know of you? And how do you find, like, how do they find out about you?
And I have wonderful podcast interviews that people put on social media and say nice things about me. I just got a couple of new Google reviews, so that's nice. Everybody, you know, trusts Google to help them find. And then I've had about 300 news features, television, radio, newspapers, and word of mouth. One of my clients was meeting with a guy who, it was with one of the very popular Arizona startups, and he told him how I introduced him to one woman, and I had three top contenders. One was a newscaster. Now, so do you want to hear like what goes into like the stories behind this?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Like what are the Please. Clients? What's the criteria to be a client, and then how does it work?
Okay. Remind me about that, because in their story, I called up a beautiful newscaster for him who was in his top three, and she said, "Is he funny?" And I'm like, "I will get back to you." And I, if I have to say I'll get back to you, it's a bad sign. Because he's got a Columbia master's degree. He's a startup guy. He's an entrepreneur. He told me in business, there's a bell curve and that most times he's going to be 10x on the black, but sometimes he might be in the red and he needs a woman who won't cut and run when he's on that side of it, that will be there for the long haul. And he said, I'm never going to live life in the middle. And I had a girl I found at a restaurant who gave me this ring at the Gladly, which used to be a Ruth's Chris, a really nice place. And she said she didn't want to live an average life. And she is the daughter of the founder of Khalil Bottling. So she grew up in entrepreneurship. Plus, and I'm telling his mom this at the Christmas party. I said, do you want to hear how I introduced your son? Because you're in it. And she's like, oh, yes. So I said, well, they both have moms from Chicago. They both have moms who help them decorate their living rooms. They both grew up Catholic. They both went to Jesuit schools. They both lived in Spain. They both believe in marriage and no divorce. His family has never had a divorce. Hers has had one, but her parents still celebrate their holidays together. I mean, there are just so many things that go into that. Oh, and he has three sisters and she has three brothers. But, oh, so what was I going to say? There was a funny story. Oh, yeah,
well, the newscaster asked if he was funny.
I dig that you're following me. you gotta take me back from the tangent. And
I feel your pain.
Thank you. I know, because you guys said you have thousands of ideas. And I'm like, I'm your sister. She said, is he fun? And I'm like, whenever I have to think about it, it's a bad sign. If you ask me something and I say I have to think about it, no, the answer is probably no, just from my gut. But I just want to really be thorough and make sure I'm making the best decision. So I call him up and I said, I need your fun resume. Just a paragraph. Tell me how you're fun, because I haven't unearthed that yet. So he comes up with something and he mentions the term heteroscedastically correct. And I still don't remember what that word means, but that's okay. I had this lunch ages ago with George Will. And do you know who that is? He's a political commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, I did homework before my lunch and I told him I did. And I had an inch full of articles back when we used to print articles in my backpack. And I told him you used inanition, solipsistic, and I forget the third word. And I still don't know what they mean because I'm just like too lazy to look them up. And if I really need them to communicate with you, we're probably going to have a problem. And because I don't want to have to, I want to be me. And if God wants me to know the meaning of those words and 10 more people use it today, yay, I'm going to know that word. But if it's useless, it's okay too. So heteroscedastically correct, I'm just like, woo. But you know what she said after their first date? She said, I love how smart he is, and he makes me tingle from my head to my toes. And I hope we can find a way to make this last forever. So That's the Catholic, Jesuit, Spain, you know, and they both have been to China. It was crazy. Oh, and their priest called me before they got married. And he said, Roseanne, I've married hundreds of couples, and I just wanted to talk to you because he said, I've never seen a couple so fully desire each other. And I wanted to talk to the woman who made that happen. Would you be willing to share their story? And I grew up Catholic. I went to Carroll Catholic grade school in Lincoln, Illinois. And I'm like, yes, Father.
So Roseanne, let me ask you, when you you talked about going to five events mm-hmm. a day, when you're going to these events, are you looking for the male clients or are you looking for women to meet your male
yes.
clients?
I need one to make the other happen. Mm-hmm. I am hired to find women. So I'm constantly on the lookout for, like, a girl laughed. She just rolled her head back and laughed at an event at the Biltmore that Dave Barry spoke at. And I knew that genuine laughter, and she had this beautiful peaches and cream complexion. And I there was just a genuineness to it. And I went inside the ballroom and I'm like, I've got to find her. So usually it's women because men are hiring me to get that one in a million. And
so men are your paying clients.
Yes.
And it's, you know, one of the things I, you know, ask about, you know, really curious about is, are women ever your paying clients, or is that not your business model, or is there not a demand for that?
It used to be that I would serve both, but it uh-huh. is so much easier to find women and have women who tell other women, their girlfriends, because birds of a feather, I love that. you know, if a girlfriend is the type of girl I want, she has a clan, a sisterhood. And if I do good with her, she's telling all of her friends. Men don't share. My first client taught me that. He was an emergency room physician back in 1994. And I'm like, I would love to know more doctors at your hospital. And he's like, what? And I'm like, well, you know, I want to know more single doctors. Who can you recommend? And he said, I'm not going to let anybody else swim in my pool. And I'm like, ooh. I began learning about men. I never knew how visual men were until this job.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You would think by looking at the magazines and what they put on television and who our news anchors are, that we would get a clue that men are extremely visual. But I didn't have a clue, really, to the extent until this. But they are more than visual when they hire me. They want the whole package. So they are redeemable.
So that makes for an interesting recruiting project because, you know, let's get right to it. Then you have to really find really beautiful women. Would that be correct?
Yes, but they have to be beautiful inside or they don't qualify. One girl asked me why I didn't call her for 18 months. And I said, well, you kind of look like a Scottsdale girl. And my guys can find Scottsdale girls for free. But I have a new one who's extraordinarily visual, who I really adore. He's employed thousands of people in the Valley. He's a really good guy. He's been giving me marketing advice. He's tall. He's 6'2". He's fit. He goes to a fitness studio. And he's a proud dad. He's a good dad. He's really close with his daughter. And he's especially selective, my domain name. He is looking for a 1 in a million, and I'm calling to see if you're as beautiful on the inside. And she says, well, actually, I just broke up with my boyfriend 2 weeks ago. He was cheating on me, and your timing couldn't be better. And I'm like, then I'd love to know more. And that's who he is getting married to this year. Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, your model and the approach is a little bit traditional, right? It's the men seeking the women. How does that play in today's world with all the, you know, the tectonic shifts of the male role, the female role? We look at it in business and in life as well, but it's, you know, are women still desiring a man to take on that role in the relationship, in finding someone, or is it just your market?
Even the most successful women I visit with want to be the girl at the end of the day. They don't want to be the man. So they like a man who can make decisions, can say, let's pick up on Friday and go to Vegas. Here's where we're going to dinner. Just be ready. I'll pick you up at 7.
So let me ask all three of you. So that creates this interesting, you know, minefield, if you will, for a man. How to know when to kind of like play that role versus when not to play that role.
Well, I can. 2 cents?
You go first, Gina.
My 2 cents, Keith, since you like to ask questions, I would ask her what her preference is. I know for me, and I think women who are really successful in business, and it sounds like, you know, Roseanne's also, you know, looking at very intelligent women inside and out, right? The very successful woman really at the end of the day wants to be the girl, I think, because I've spent my whole day making decisions and being in charge and being the boss and having a lot of male energy. And I just want to be the girl at the end of the day. So if you ask me my preference, I will tell you.
I'm with you. And yeah, wow. I'm with you. I have been in a relationship where I basically had to wear the pants, and became very frustrating for me to have to hold the family down financially and also make all the decisions all the time. And in the end, it actually figuratively castrated the male counterpart in that relationship because he began to feel helpless because I just assumed I was the one to make the decisions all the time. And I think that was part of the big breakdown of the relationship. And now my current marriage is very successful in that he loves me, that I am successful. I make my own money. I'm very, you know, powerful and strong. And yet I want to be the girl at the end of the day. I know that he likes to be the man. He likes to choose, like you said, Roseanne. I'd rather let him choose dinner because I do. I want to make him feel like the king and I want to be the queen.
And you feel cherished.
Exactly. I feel cherished. That's a good word. So there's our two cents, Keith.
Yeah. And let's reinforce the word queen versus princess.
Oh, I like that. Can I share another story?
Please.
Oh, yes.
I keep like feeling it and then I'm listening and I'm like, what was this story? Oh, yes. One of my couples, I called him up the day of his first date. And this is a man who showed me a picture of his ex before he hired me. And I told him, knowing that I am at risk of losing a $12,500 client or $25,000 if he falls in love and marries her. I told him she looks evil, and he did not react, and stone cold face. And I'm like, you need to know I'm going to tell you the truth before you hire me, as I am after you hire me. And if somebody looks evil, I will not be telling you about her. And if I had seen this woman anywhere, I would never have recruited her in a million years, because she's not smiling in her picture. She doesn't look warm. She doesn't look loving, and guys can find the evil ones without any help. And the day of his first date with this girl that I found, I had 22 women to show him, and I showed him one. And I said, I can show you the other 21. We'll be exhausted by the end of it. We'll both go home brain dead, and hopefully we'll get a first, second, and third ranked girl that match everything you want. But before I get to all of them, let me show you this one. And so we do, and she's quirky, she's fun, she's sunny. I love that. I've never called her that before, but that's what she is. I would see her hiking up Squaw Peak with a ball cap and a ponytail. She was self-made. She had the most beautiful blue eyes, blonde hair, wonderful smile. I always wanted to introduce her since she was 28 years old, and she was 34 at this time. He was 42. And I called him up the day of the date. She had never dated anybody who made six figures. He had never dated anybody who made six figures. She said, he better not talk about money. And I told him, you better not show up in a loud car. If your car makes a lot of noise, you park that thing a block away. I don't want her seeing anything that's flashy. And the morning of, I just had this concern, because he's only dated girls who found him, because he's wealthy. You know, he made seven figures. She made $180,000, which I had no idea of. And I didn't tell each other how much they made. And I reminded him, you know, I told you she's quirky, right? She's not going to agree with every idea you have. She's not going to say yes to everything you propose. And you've probably never been exposed to this before. And I just want you to know, going into this, this is who she is. Are you sure you want to do this? He says, I think I've got to try. And it was just so adorable. And I told that to a friend of his, and they said, that sounds like him. They were in his CEO form, like a YPO. Anyway, that was it. But I wanted to make sure he could handle it. Because if this is the first time you've ever had somebody who had their own opinions and you're a guy used to dating beautiful women, how do you know if you can handle it? You know, and they don't understand that a woman who always says yes, who says every idea is great, is probably not showing anything about who she really is. So there you go.
So true.
Yeah. So they did get married. He said after 30 days, she was the one.
Wow.
Hey, everybody. I know you're enjoying this amazing episode, but I wanted to break in really quick and give a shout out to Dermavogue, our sponsor. Dermavogue at dermavogue.com is one of Gina and I's secrets to looking so amazing. Actually, more amazing than we already look, but thanks to Dr. Turek and his fabulous staff, we look and feel our best. Check them out, dermavogue.com.
I'd say so in today's world of the swiping left and right and everything being a kind of a quick look at, have you ever had men who are like, no, I don't want to look at just that one. I want to see what else is out there, because we've become a society of like, what else is there? What else is there? I want more. What else is there? And like in so many aspects of our world, because of, you know, the digital worlds, what happens with that, that they just need to see every possibility?
Well, they're hiring me to hone from 15,000 people I've approached, you know, the women in that group, to the right age, the right religion. So we get down to this many. And then I get a greater understanding of what they're visually attracted to by showing them the pictures. Like one guy told me, Roseanne, after I showed him his lineup, and he says, "I guess I forgot to tell you something." I'm like, "What's that?" He says, "I'm more attracted to brunettes." And they were all blondes. And I'm like, "Yeah, that would have helped." But 2 weeks later, I walk into a restaurant after going to a movie, and there's a brunette sitting there with the most shockingly green eyes and the most beautiful smile. And I'm like, "Oh my God, I need you." I learned she dated a totally hot firefighter that I've known forever, and it didn't go the distance. And she was totally ready for a commitment and a really great guy. When I told her about this guy, she didn't want to see his photos. Not at first. She said, "I want to hear about him because this time I'm not going to buy with my eyes." And that's who she married. So do men want to, options? Absolutely. They're hiring me to find the options, but not just with my eyes. And I tell people this, when I meet a beautiful woman, nothing happens. I don't change. I don't have any confusion. I don't forget what to say. I don't get lost. I don't get distracted. I don't miss the things that she says that might clue a guy in that's a red flag, because they'll go, "But she's so beautiful. You know, there's probably 80 other things that I would love about her." And that doesn't happen with me. So it's an unbiased ferreter of information, and I will go deeper. I will ask her those questions that make it hard for her to get around what could be true.
So how do you pick up women?
Keith is just asking for advice right now.
I know Keith's off the market, but and I also know that Keith is very good at communicating with women.
He is.
It's a refreshing trait. He's really engaging. I always love talking to you, Keith.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, he's blushing.
Now I'm blushing.
That's as easy as that, eh?
Show him your boobs, Rachel.
So you go into this restaurant, you see this woman with incredible green eyes, and I think your point is really well made that when you engage this person, you're not kind of, it's a third party engagement, if you will. So you're more objective. But how do you engage your potential, I guess you could call it client here on the other side. So this woman in the restaurant.
Just like I was becoming a friend and just visit, you know, with no intended outcome other than to see who she really is and do I like her. If I like her.
Do you tell them what you're doing, that you are a matchmaker? Yeah. And how does that, what kind of reaction do you usually get?
It's
with
a
that?
Lot better than it was 25 years ago. Because 25 years ago, a guy who just saw me at a Phoenix Suns charities event, he says, "I remember you doing this, you know, way back in the early days, and you were ahead of your time." Because women would look at me who'd been married 20 years and go, "Oh, honey, I just don't know what we'd talk about. You know, I've been married for 20 years. And I'm like, "I don't know. I have a degree from George Washington. I was in the Navy. I did a congressional internship. I was on the crew team. I ran cross country. You know, there's got to be, I hike. I do the Grand Canyon Rim to Rim every year. Come on. There's got to be something you're interested in. I read. I watch TV." But now it's like, I was at a group called Powerhouse Women and got to stand up and tell the whole room of women that I'm a matchmaker and I created romance headhunting and I go to events and I look for beautiful women to date my clients, single women. And if you know anybody, I would love to know you. And I was mobbed. And it's hard to find a really great guy. If a guy's spending my kind of money to hire me to find a woman, you know, he wants a relationship in a serious way. And that is so exciting for a woman to know that a guy really wants to invest in a relationship and isn't just looking for the next thing.
So to follow that on, what kind of, you said that what men want, one thing men want is a visual reaction,
they want,
you know, visual.
They want attractive.
So what other generalities can you make about what men
want? Intelligent. They want the attractive, the slender waistline is, or fitness, because they're fit guys. And I hate to say that, but it's just what I've learned. and they want intelligent. They want somebody they can have a conversation with for the rest of their lives. Somebody they can wake up and talk to, and laugh with, and who's got a sense of humor, who is nice because they may have dealt with the evil on their own, and somebody who will, if it's going to be if they have a family together, is going to be a good mom. I'm looking for great boyfriends, great husbands, great fathers, and great girlfriends, great wives, great mothers, and great friends, great partners.
So what about the other side? What do women want?
Women want somebody, gosh, it's been a while since I've been asked this. Women want somebody honest who will tell us the truth no matter what, even if it's not what we want to hear. Tell us the truth. Then they want communicative, somebody who will talk with us, listen to us, good sense of humor, and because that can get you through the tough spots. Taller than us. I never realized how many women want a tall guy. I never knew. Even the girls 5'2 and 5'4 will tell me sometimes things like, one girl 5'2 told me a couple months ago she had to have a guy 6'2. I'm like, seriously? He's got to be 12 inches taller than you? One girl said that she didn't feel short she didn't feel petite, and that the guy was too short. This was years ago. And I'm like, go to the beach, you know, take off your heels because they're 4 or 5 inch heels. Every guy is going to feel taller than you. So taller, let me see, nice looking, good straight white teeth. Yeah.
Very
good.
It's
a crazy thing. I never really understood how important straight white teeth are. But if a girl's going to kiss a guy, the guy has to be kissable.
Very good.
So I'm going to chime in here, because I know that we do have some listeners out there who are probably going, well, that's not me. I don't have a small waist. I don't make six figures. Maybe I'm not beautiful enough. Like, is that just not even your market? Like, cause you know, in my opinion, beauty, there's so many different categories, yes, of beauty, and it does come from the inside. It doesn't necessarily mean a certain weight, size, whatever. It comes like really gorgeous, perfectly manicured, totally women beautiful, can also be ugly. So, you know, just wanted to chime in for those women out there that might be like, well, this is bullshit because I'm not that. And that, does that mean I'm never going to find a great guy?
No, it's like for the guy who's 5'7", What I find interesting is guys who are 5'7" have had to work harder and maybe develop more charisma than the guy who's 6'2". And I am blown away by that. And I tell the guys that are taller, I have a guy who's very serious. He thinks he's fun. And I'm trying to help him be more fun and bring that. He says, I'm more fun on a date. This is an interview process with you. And I'm like, yeah, I need you to close the gap between fun and serious. And because I'm finding you beautiful women that are fun, you know, and engaging, and we want somebody who's alive. It's the only thing about what I do that I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in men that they aren't universally open to beautiful women, every beautiful woman that's out there. And I have had 6 men who have said, Roseanne, I like a woman. One said, I want a woman who I won't cut my arms on if I reach my arms around her. She's not too bony. I want a woman who won't blow away in the wind. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You know, they do exist. They do exist. So forgive me. It's not my intent to make anybody feel bad. And I believe that every woman, no matter whether they come to me or let God find them somebody out in the universe, go out there, be your beautiful self, and don't just stay home. Make it your mission. Just like writing your book requires 30 minutes a day, you were talking about in one of your podcasts. I listen to your podcast, girlfriend. And I love that. In Costa Rica. Yeah. And so I want to find out if you wrote your books before we finish this podcast, because you said at the beginning of the year that you both wanted to have a book written by the end of the year. So, spend some time and get some things on your calendar so that you can meet the type of man you want to meet, not just who asks you out, and have a higher bar for that guy and for yourself.
It's, you know, when I think I qualify as the most married and divorced person on this podcast right now. And so when I met my husband, who is, you know, my final husband, because we are awesome together, he told me early on that he had this list. He had a list that, you know, he had been with, I'm not sure if it was a therapist or a mentor or somebody had who had told him to create a list of the perfect woman. And he was shy about sharing the list with me. But I had read one of my most favorite personal development books of all time, The Compound Effect. And in it, Darren Hardy talks about creating this list. He wrote this list like 40 pages long of his who, and he said it ended up, my wife was like, it was as if she was peeled off of the pages of this list. So when Felix told me he had this list, I was like, I've got to see your list. Because first of all, I was so blown away that I met a man that had a list. I was like, yes, he's got a list. Yeah. He knows what he wants. And then when he shared the list, when I berated him into sharing it, I asked him many times and then he shared it. And really I was the list, aside from being a 9-to-5 worker, which now I'm trying to be because it makes more sense, but I'm not, I'm a, you know, if I'm my eyes are open worker, but a lot of the things on his list is what I was. And he was also astounded that he found me, that I fit the list. So there really is something to that. If you're not finding who you want, then maybe you just don't know what you want. And, you know.
So I would give homework to your listeners. I like to have two lists. I want to know what are the top 10 criteria that you're looking for in the person of your dreams. And I want to know what are the top 10 criteria or qualities that make you, you. And one girl said, Roseanne, I'm so grateful that I did that homework with you, because 30 days after I did it, I was on an airplane and I sat next to someone and it wasn't the guy, but because I was so clear about who I was and what I wanted in a man, I was able to have that conversation with him. And he says, you need to meet my friend. So even if you don't come to me and use me as your matchmaker, I'm on a mission of love for the whole world. And if you know with clarity who you are and what you want, and you can review it and just internalize it and step into you, your amazingness, and be positive when you're out there in the world, that guy, having a better, or that girl, whoever it is you're looking for, has a better chance of identifying you, and you have a better chance of attracting the right one and repelling the wrong ones. We tend to not repel the wrong ones, especially if we have some physical attraction. So that's where I come in. One guy says, Roseanne, I've obviously not been very good at making choices for myself. So I need to put it in somebody else's hands.
Yeah, I love the homework and, you know, what your husband did. There's something about when you do capture it that way, not only are you clarifying it for yourself, but you're starting to put that energy out there. I mean, something about putting it out in the world, you know, creates that attraction. We've talked about the book Radical Forgiveness, and you know how you guys went through that, right? Gina, through that, and you know the forms, and you kind of talk about what it is you want to have happen, and how surprising it is once you put it out there, those things can start happening.
Well, and the homework. Oh, sorry, Roseanne.
No, you go ahead.
The homework that Roseanne mentioned as well, a really important point is when you have this list, like you mentioned, Roseanne, of who you are and also what you want, sometimes you see, okay, so let's say I want a life partner who makes six figures, but am I that person who would fit into the lifestyle of somebody that I want? Does that make sense? Like, you see what you want, but you also, as a person, you have to become the kind of person that would fit the lifestyle of the person you're looking for.
I had a conversation just in this last week with a beautiful girl. I met her last year because the wife of her ex-husband sent her to me because they want her to be happy. That, do you understand that? My hairstylist married her ex-husband. And she said, Roseanne, I really want her to be happy. And so she came to me, but she was not in the same place she is now today. I saw her again last week. And she is so much more whole and really attending to, she was beautiful then, but she was playing it down when we met. And she was a little bit bitter. I could feel she was aching. And a year later, she says, Roseanne, when I show up to that date, I'm going to look my best. I'm going to be bringing it And that guy, you know, if he's a good match for me, I want to be, you know, putting my best foot forward. And I'm like, you go, girl. You know, do it. Do all the other girls who are out there who are dating know that they're up against a girl like this? I mean, guys know that they, guys, I don't like this about men, but they only bring their A game if they're completely inspired by the girl in front of them most often, unless they might like other men. Because sometimes it's really easy to talk to gay men. You know how open and wonderful that to talk to they are. Guys, if they're not interested in you and they are heterosexual, they are, you don't even see the light go on in their eyes. I remember I was at a restaurant with a beautiful girl and a guy I knew all of a sudden turned the switch and wanted to buy us both drinks. And he was just super friendly and engaging and interesting. And I'm like, damn boy, I see what's going on here. I know you.
You know what I love about you, Roseanne, is because there's a lot of stuff that you're saying that people kind of dance around the issue. You know, they kind of dance around it and they want to pretend like it's not really true. But it is. It's just, it's so, it is basic and it is true that that's how it works.
Yeah, I had to tell one of my guys in the last week, if he's not got that initial chemistry, he doesn't bring it. She comes and goes, Roseanne, I think he was not interested. He, you know, he wasn't a lot of fun. And I'm like, oh, I'm so mad at him because he should be being present and giving her his best, even if this is only a one-time date, you know?
Well, that's it's sales, right?
I was just going to go there.
Be up for that sales call.
Well, it's the homework you're talking about too is you could use that in sales and in business if you think about it.
He should be being his best self no matter who is in front of him.
Absolutely. Yeah, take the best. Yeah. Wow. What is it, right?
I was
Rachel.
Just thinking, you know, sometimes it's hard to be your best self in situations. And, you know, these type of matchmaking situations I'm thinking of that you're describing, Roseanne, it sounds like the people that you can't show up as your best self until you've sorted through your shit. So sometimes when you're doing that homework that Roseanne mentioned, then you're going to come up with like, I mean, I spent a lifetime like telling myself I was ugly and fat and not good enough, like despite how skinny I was. Right. So there's women out there that probably relate or, you know, that you may not feel comfortable saying I am beautiful. If you are that woman, then that means there's some baggage to deal with. And if you're carrying around that baggage, it's going to show up and you're going to set it down on the date. Right. So like, that's the kind of stuff that makes one really attractive is when you can finally be like, hell yeah, I'm beautiful. I'm showing up with my A game. And sometimes you got to work through that stuff. Right, Roseanne? Like you can see it on people.
Right. And if you feel sexy, you feel sexy to the other person. You know, I've seen women rock it and they just have this confidence and this joie de vivre. And I'm just like, you go, girl.
Well, let's go there because you opened the door to one of our signature questions that we ask at the end. And we're close to the end here. So you talk about sexy. How would you define sexy?
How would I define sexy? Wow. Sexy is being your irresistible you, bringing your gifts, letting go of whatever could be holding you back and mentally as anything other than your beautiful self that God made. I let people know God made you. And do you think he only selected you not to meet someone? No. He made you to be the 1 in 7 billion beautiful soul that you are. And I'm probably not going into the sexy level that get others.
Come on, Roseanne, let it go. Let your sexy go.
Let my sexy go. Okay, wear something that's not a muumuu and show up showing that you love your curves and that you love yourself and smile. And a smile is sexy. One guy, a pilot, told me on an airplane, He said, if a woman smiles at me, it can carry me a couple of hours. And
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yes. Tell us more, Keith.
Yeah. I'm curious now from the male point of view.
Well, because that's an openness that's like a pure expression, as opposed to what is the facade that is made up, if you will, to be there. So it's, and my belief is that women especially make up a facade, starting with makeup.
Yeah, Keith and makeup, here we go.
So, the smile is just like that. Yeah. A real smile. And you mentioned Roseanne being at a conference where a woman was just really heartily laughing. That is for most men is a immediate attractant.
What's the best advice, Roseanne, that you've ever been given by another woman or a man?
Best advice in what category?
Well, like any business category.
Yeah.
What's the best advice? Oh, okay. This comes to mind. I attended University of Santa Monica and I studied spiritual psychology, and I stood up my first time, we get to do shares, and I told them that I'm the best matchmaker on the planet. And I'm on a mission of love for the world. And I was so wrapped up in my ego and what I do that Mary Holnick, Dr. Mary Holnick, her and her husband, Ron, are beautiful souls. And Mary says to me very sweetly, as she is prone to do, being a matchmaker is what you do. It's not who you are. And I'm like, I pull the sword out of my side. I go to lunch that day and I'm like, you know what? I haven't been to the beach yet. I'm going to go see the ocean at lunch. I did that for me. I got a scooter. I'm like having a blast, having the wind go in my hair and being a little over the age of the average scooter rider. It was just fun. And I was me. So that was like the best advice. How's that?
Awesome.
That is excellent advice. And as a matter of fact, taking it to relationships, that's one of the things that I would think to look out for is when somebody introduces themselves, do they introduce themselves as what they do, or do they introduce themselves as who they are?
And how do you say who you are when somebody says, you know, what do you do? Well,
I like to say I'm a mosquito on Red Bull, Keith.
I saw that. I was wondering if there was an image or a circumstance that made that come.
This is what came.
That's just Gina.
This is what came from the Culture Index personality profile. The guy expediting it said to me, basically, you're like a mosquito on Red Bull, which would make Rachel the same.
Yeah, that's really interesting too, because that is when people say, hey, hello, my name is Rachel. I am a loan officer with U.S. Mortgage and a mom. And that's not really who I am though. So I just wrote that question down for myself. But I do think that to introduce myself as, hi, my name is Rachel, I'm a woman your mother warned you about, that's probably more accurate, actually.
That's perfect.
It actually is more accurate than what I do for a living.
Yeah.
That's a badass I want to hang out with.
Yeah. Well, that's the origin of this show. That's why we created it, was to be able to stand in who we are exactly as we are unapologetically.
I love it.
So Gina, how would you introduce yourself?
It depends on the day.
No, who are you?
Yeah. I mean, I go along with Rachel. I'm a woman your mother warned you about. And then some days I'm a hot mess, and some days I'm a mosquito on Red Bull. It depends on the day. Every day is a little bit different.
And do you have one, Keith?
Yes, I'm a curious soul.
Oh. Nice. And it's true.
He is a curious soul. And if you ever have a problem you want solved and you call him for advice, just be prepared for lots of questions and be prepared to say what you would do for a solution. Don't just call him to talk about an event. be ready to be challenged in every conversation.
That's a good quality, though. Hey, Roseanne, one final of our signature closing questions. What advice do you wish you had been given?
Ooh, I wish that somebody had held my hand 25 years ago and said, start writing your books now.
Mm.
Shut up, Rachel.
So what's the laughter about? I've
been berating Gina about writing her beginning her book. Gina has an amazing book inside of her that she has not let the world read yet. I have written a book, and I put my not perfect book out into the world, and it's been fascinating the connections that people have made by my not perfect book. So we are encouraging in a sort of nagging sort of way to get Gina on board to writing her amazing book.
Nagging kind of way.
I think there's something to this that I would love to support you in writing your book. And perhaps there's a way for us to support each other.
Okay. I will take you up on that. We can schedule another offline conversation without my other ears listening and poking at me.
Were you guys at National Association of Broadcasters ever in Austin, Texas?
No.
Okay. No. I wondered if I had met you before.
No, I had been in Chicago years ago.
So as we wrap up, we should ask Roseanne how men looking for women should find her, and how, I guess, women who want to be found should find her as well.
The best ways.
Men are typically proactive, and you can just call me. You can text me. If you're in meetings all day and you're like, I'm going to see if she responds, test me and send me your photos if you really want to get a jump on it. Guys typically aren't going to do that first, but my number is 602-241-1800. I don't mind if the whole world has my cell. That's it. 602-241-1800. My website, girls can go there, or you can just email me. It's Roseanne, R-O-S-E-A-N-N at especiallyselective.com. But I invite you to be as fast as the men and send me pictures of you via text too, because that starts me off really seeing who you are and putting a face with a name and information that you can just introduce yourself. It's free if you're the perfect match for one of these really amazing guys. And what have you got to lose? And I will be my most honest and best self for you and be your friend.
And you mentioned, if you want to mention again, what are your clients paying
$25,000 half up front. And I know I should be charging more because I've only had 5 divorces in 25 years. So I'm saving them millions of dollars and heartache. I'm getting them true love with somebody that they cannot believe. One guy says he's the luckiest man on earth. He never knew that a love like this existed. Another man said that he never knew marriage could be this amazing. He told that to Fox Business. So I forget what your question was, Keith.
You answered it.
Just wanted to know how much it was. So for the men listening,
$25,000 half up front. And I only take on a client. We were Spies was a finalist in the Ethics Awards with the Better Business Bureau, the first time in the entire country that a matchmaker made it to the Ethics Awards finals. And I'm so honored and blessed, but they had heard that I only take money from people if I think it's a search that can be done. And I want to be honest up front because after 25 years, I know which searches I can be successful in. One guy wanted to hire me recently who's 5'8", and I said, before I let you hire me, I want to see if a girl I'm thinking of would go out with you. If she says yes, I know she exists. And I called her up, told her about him. She saw his picture even before he hired me with a surfboard at the beach. Totally good looking guy, but he's 5'8". And she's like, he's handsome. I'm like, yes. So I'm going to be honest with anybody before they spend a dime with me. Just like I was with the guy who I told his ex looked evil and fell in love with the first girl. So that's what they can count on, is an honest conversation and a friend who really cares about their outcome.
Great. And Keith, if you ever come off the market, come back on the market, off the market, I mean, you have a place to go.
I guess that would be on the market.
You come back on the market.
Keith is someone who probably has the ability to call somebody as soon as he would become single, because he's very open and communicative with women, and he's handsome and fit. You know, things that girls, and he's successful and interesting.
He's the whole package, ladies.
Yes.
But there's not a for sale sign out front right now. So.
Not right now. Not available. Roseanne, it has been awesome having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time out and getting up early to be here with us, with our listeners.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for being so amazing and for all you're doing out in the world, all three of you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. And thanks to all of our Warners for listening to this episode of Women Your Mother Warned You About, and to our sponsor, Dermavogue, who keeps Rachel and I looking prettier than we already are. Keith is already naturally pretty.
Handsome.
As are you, Gina. You're just glowing today.
Stop it.
Your hair looks like amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. To connect with me, Gina Tramarco, directly, or learn more about Pivot 10 Results and Carolina Improv, you can find me on our website at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com or ginatramarco.com.
And to connect with me, Rachel Pitts, you can find me all over social media as The Singing Lender. And to find all of our social media links and free downloads, and find Keith. Ooh, I don't mean to leave you out, Keith. Where can I find you?
Well, they can go to that website, womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com, look at About Us, and find my massive social media presence on LinkedIn. Man,
there's a hesitation in the massive. I'm sorry. I went to a... Yes, his massive social media presence. Sorry. It's always rogue with us. Hey, Warners, one more thing. If you love our show as much as Roseanne does, if you love our show, show the love and share with a friend, colleague, or client. Just one way to give value with a free resource to others and strengthen those business relationships without expecting anything in return. So keep on keeping it sexy. And remember, for the best relationships, keep it real, raw, and relevant.
And a little irreverence doesn't hurt either.
Bye, Warners. Bye, everybody.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
Women Your Mother Warned You About is a Pod About It production. You've got a great idea. Let's pod about it. Visit podaboutit.com for more information.
Woof, woof. Monkey.